Blog Talk Radio.
On Truth Be Told Radio, and we're going to get right into it, and I'm going to play a song. This one is also by GoFish, who sang that, the B-I-B-L-E song. This is called The Bible Book Bop, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Bible book, Bible, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, do the Bible,
do the Bible.
Here's Timothy Brindle. This one's called Humility, and it's off the Killing Sin Project.
Forever before the creation, order was Satan. The Son was with the Spirit and Father in glorification. Before worship of fine angels above, the Trinity was in a perfect triangle of love. Still with no one else, no need for others, because God is self-sufficient, fulfilled within himself. And we can only guess the conversation, but the Son agreed to rescue those the Father gave him. And although this Lord should be worshipped, he volunteered to take upon the form of a servant. The Father commanded, yet asked him to come. So now let's examine the fashion it was done. Let me ask you if you seem confused with this. God passed through his own creature's uterus. I admit this is odd, yet the Bible can persuade me.
An omnipotent God crying as a baby?
No doctors around, no spot could be found to give birth to a child. The only option in town was to be born in a feeding trough with breeding cows and feces pals. The scene was foul, it wasn't fancy but raunchy. How the Son of God was born next to camels and donkeys. What an awesome feat to drop so deep and cop the sheep. He then stepped down, he took a quantum leap. And I'm amazed how God, infinite in wealth, put aside his fame and limited himself to time and space and eyes and legs. He died to save a violent race who sin would bring him hell.
Who'd assume that this could be? God became a man penetrating into human history, but he did it completely opposite than people thought he would, so unbelievers mocking it. Who'd assume that this could be? You became a man penetrating into human history, but you did it completely opposite than I thought you would, so I was mocking it.
Promised Messiah didn't come in the honor of sire, but humbly wrought in some modest attire. So people missed it, to be specific, the legalistic thought the king would be the richest. And we know we like commodities, but the possessor of all riches chose a life of poverty. Wait, it's not the descendant of David, is this? Yes, and he's descended the greatest distance. He chilled with sinners and tax robbers, amongst his creatures who to him were grasshoppers. He dwelt with the lower class, lowly men, and those known as trash were his chosen kin. And the unbelieving Jews were sick of him. They said,
he runs with a team of stupid fishermen, and speaks to Samaritans and barbarians.
Pharisees stared at him with harsh arrogance. It shone when the Savior took notice of beggars, healed the blind and sick and those with lowest of wages. He even touched those with leprosy, which was seen as the most disgusting known infection, see? Wait, are you kidding me? Watch Jesus go low and watch Peter's souls. What great humility. See, the second person of the Trinity came down to rescue workers of iniquity. Check his earthly ministry. He didn't make a bed. He had no place to lay his head. But he became bound to his own law. But we found no flaw. Was from a rugged town so raw. Slumbered and slept, hungered and wept and sweated. Plunged to our depths, the sum of our deaths pathetic. The humblest yet, the humblest death that's dreaded. The Son is our rest, come under him, get his credit.
No question that he's COD, but he laid aside the full expression of his deity. And surfed the chasm, no words can fathom how God walked this earth, which is cursed from Adam. No question that you're GOD, but you laid aside the full expression of your deity. And surfed the chasm, no words can fathom how you walked.
cross, the peak of his humiliation. No discussion, surely that's removed him. He got the most disgusting form of execution. He who sits upon the throne and rules was kicked and stomped and spit upon by Roman fools. Despised by Israel, tried by sinful souls, but was silent when struck by violent imbeciles. And Jesus was able to call down legions of angels, but he was too faithful, gracious and patient with him. Yet he was hated and forsaken by men like Jews. They hated his soul. Judas betrayed him for gold. When it was tough, his crew was afraid, so they rolled. Suckers, they murked him. This suffering servant was beat up and looked like he was cut by a surgeon. Slaughtered, bleeding, gushing, oozing blood. The Father pleased to crush him whom he loved. So he probably didn't even feel the crown and nails. He had to suffer more than that to bring down the veil. Our eyes are haughty and our lives are naughty. The Holy Christ bore our sins inside his body. Yeah, his veins they burst, but no one came with worse. Cause the one who made the earth became a curse. And he was one with the Father's essence. Put on the cross, the God of heaven cut off his presence. So I can't share any language that can rightly describe the Christ's despair and his anguish. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. He who had infinite joy and pleasure became a man of sorrow so we can join forever. He took a cosmic plunge to arm some lungs. On the cross he came to God a sponge to soak up his wrath so the wicked wouldn't be sifted and blown into chaff.
The time, 20th century. The place, China. The martyr, a young girl.
We would gather so pastor could see, and as Christians, we were pleased just to hear the read in the scripture. Cause here in Asia, we can't worship like the states, cause servants of grace might be murdered for their faith. So we give Christ the praise and secretly. We ain't treated equally. Even on today, our Bible studies held illegally. As pastor opened a read from the first sentence, communist soldiers in kitchen doors clean off the hinges. I knew this could happen for accepting his precious gift. They threatened to kill us with guns clutched within their fist. I'm shaking and scared. Even though Jesus is my everything, I don't know if I'm prepared to die at the age of 17. The leading official turned to my pastor and looked, put a gun to his face and told him, hand over the book. He reluctantly handed over the text that he saw in doors. They laughed as he grabbed it, and it was smashed to the floor. I was truly grieved as I looked in his eyes. He said, any of you can leave if you spit on this book alive. A man walked up, cried as he fell to the floor. Father, forgive me. Leave. Now you can go. I trembled with fear as my mind started to think about death. Heart leaking with sweat, I thought my heart would beat through my chest. A woman that walked up next, spit on the Bible and left. The official shot in the air, continued yelling out threats. I was tempted to do it, I just wanted to leave. The moment I thought this, I felt overwhelmingly grieved. I gritted my teeth, tears began to stream down my face. I needed some faith, I just started to think on his grace. In my head, I said, forget it, as I walked from the text. Kneeled to the floor, watched him spit out the Bible with my dress. Delivered Christ to die's game, ain't a popular song. I prayed, Father, forgive him as I was shot in the dome.
The time, 1536. The place, outside of Brussels. The martyr, William Tyndale.
I refuse to look to John Huss's goose was cooked. Lord, I want to put your truth in books. Not concerning my faith, no turning away. I know eternity awaits, even if I'm burned at the stake. Like avoiding their attack to me would profit me. Great whore that could be properly the papacy and prophecy. They say the Pope's the holiest, only if these people could see its phoniness. It's scripturally erroneous, the Pope of men fail to respect. They want to seek death to William Tyndale, so then I inhale a deep breath. Two doors, my hands pushed as I stride inside. I would grab my men, hiding it's an ambush. I was sabotaged, he was disguised and camouflaged as a friend of me. I didn't know he was the enemy, not through discerning. I see this group is yearning with ill will to kill Bill like Uma Thurman. It's a chaotic frenzy. As they plot against me, hey, if God defends me or ends me, they'll soon determine. Now I plead for these people, they grieve your cathedral. I don't want to repay evil for evil. When I'm weak, I'm made strong. Got my brave face on, was cheap for the slaughter, being killed all the day long. I'll never be a man pleaser. No matter how tight the grip of the hand squeezer, I can't breathe, I stand with Jesus. Even if plans are grievances, they try to put me to sleep like anesthesia. Now I'm gagging and gasping, I'm sold out for you. No doubt this news won't choke out the truth and leave a lasting legacy. Cats who would never read the word after the death of me. Cats can cleverly get past the heresy and grab for this weaponry. This war's now more than past to the heavenly.
time, approximately 100 AD. The place, Rome. The martyr, Anonymous.
My wrists bleed from the shackles as I get dragged in the gravel. My ribs hurt, was arrested and tackled. Snatched up, I was reaching. Pulled in a pack, low beat for the God that I stand for. A young man, I'm a Roman, version of Daniel. Yo, I gotta be an example. Feed by the decree of the Emperor's panel to kill Christians in all of the land. So, yo, now they got me tied up, dog getting trampled. Forcing my death while they chant, yo. No gospel, Christ is a scandal. The mob screams as I'm violently handled. But I am a sample, a grace that is ample. The same though the pain isn't canceled. Strained as a mane by the rage of the grapple. Each swing hurting me more than the last blow. Kicked by the sandals, struck by the rhymes. Cracked from the whips in the hands of the gods. Mocked by the people, they bask in the evil. Soaring up wrath in the path of my God. But I, what a relief it is to be in Jesus. Even beaten if Christ is the reason. Pulled to the center of Rome, a crowd cheating. Chant for my death and indict me with treason. I get tied to a pole by a soldier. Shaped like a ogre. Rope round my laces, rope round my shoulder. He signals his boy and he yells out, yo, y'all bring the torch over. So now I'm facing the blaze, facing the pain. By grace, putting faith in his name. He says, last call for a recant. I say, we can't. So he ignites me in flame.
The time? Approximately 62 A.D. The place, Jerusalem. The martyr, James, the brother of Jesus.
Sovereign Lord, you're so holy. You know me. I'm nothing but dust, and I trust in you only. I see the faces in the crowd below me. I'm standing on the rooftop of the temple, and they about to throw me off because I've been causing a major fuss. They call me James the Just. Jesus, the name I trust. In the days of his flesh, he was my brother in the physical. I thought that he was crazy, enough that I would ridicule. But since his resurrection, I see he meticulously rules, and next to his perfections, I'm ridiculously minuscule. Astounding, I'm taking a pounding and bruise for him. I look around and see the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. Suddenly I get calm, reminded of God's promise in verse 2 of the 125th Psalm. I hear the obscene chatter, for me no tears or screams scatter, or fears of getting my spleen splattered. Christ is supreme, so extreme is the theme of his redeemed team. By no means is my dream shattered, embracing what is after as I'm facing this disaster. I have to, cause no slave is greater than his master. They told me deny Jesus and not be an apostle. My response, repent and believe in the gospel. They threw me off the roof for that last phrase spoken. I hit the ground alive with both of my legs broken. They acting so wickedly, with no sympathy. My blood flowed vividly, I felt stones hitting me. Yo, inwardly, Jesus gave me peace like Stephen them. I reached up to heaven and began to intercede for them. Father, forgive them, though their sin's great and enormous. One of their own said, brothers, wait, he's praying for us. One cat had so much hate in his heart for Jesus, his blunt instrument crushed my skull into pieces.
The time, modern day. The place, the streets of New York. The martyr, a street evangelist.
Yeah, in the beginning, before it's rolled back to finish, I grew up in the world where no truth was in it. No hope, no dream, no future in it. Only crackheads with some state truth was in it. I grew up with a mother, brother, sister, no pops. Families locked up, we teased and crooked cops. Dope dealers and thugs on street corners and blocks. Dudes that push weight, can still be getting knocked. That was my life before I married a Christ. So now I rap hard on the block and day and the night. 2 a.m. in the morning, it's my third weekend. So far 17 souls walked away from their sin. It's a struggle on the block in the heart of the pit, where the fiends look like zombies as they search for a fix. 14 across the street and she licking the lips, asking Poppy for a date while she grinding the hip. I can't believe what I'm seeing, but thank God for the mission, cause he touches hearts and opens up the mind for the vision. And people saying I should make the right decision, cause the devil's steady lurking, but I'm moving with precision. I can't be scared, I'm a soldier for the kingdom. I'm a dub and I gotta rap hard till I meet him. And tell the world that it's crucial they receive him, cause he's coming back, nobody knows the AM or the PM. And on the block, I could see it was beef. The spirit told me they was coming, I refused to retreat. The leader stepped to my face, singing he was the man. And ain't no God in earth and heaven gonna ruin his plan. I looked him in his eyes and told him this ain't had to be the end. The Lord loved the man regardless as to what he done or did. Satan filled his heart so he ain't really care what I said. Cocked back the 9 and bust 3 shots to my head.
Thank you.
Again, that was Guitar Boys 70. You can find them on YouTube. And that was How Great Thou Art, ukulele version. And now I'm going to play another one from Go Fish. And this is called Gotta Move here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Get up and get grooving. You know the truth. This is your chance. to, they know we walk away. What will they think? Will they make fun? Where will they go when their time on earth is done? We gotta be the salt, we gotta be the light. We gotta get left or we gotta get right. Trying to be sensitive has gotta send a mess. Put on your armor and take one in the chest. If you wanna bear fruit, to tell it.
We got the truth.
We got the truth.
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
fresh and we're feeling kind of snazzy.
Once again, that was Goldfish singing the song Snazzy. And if you'd like to find out more about them and hear their music more or get their album even, go to Goldfish Guys, that's GoFishGuys.com. GoFishGuys.com. And you're listening to me, Melissa Cantrella, on Truth Be Told Radio. If you want to check out more about us, go to TruthBetoldRadio.com. TruthBetoldRadio.com. We also have a page on Facebook and also on Twitter. We're Truth Be Told Radio, but it's the letter B instead of B-E because they let us spell the whole thing out. So it's Truth, the letter B, Told Radio on Twitter. And what I'm going to have for you next is, let's see, I'm going to play this.
I, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. And Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. And he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible, probably because he isn't.
Everything. fight against his will then. The Lord used her marriage in the Bible to reveal sin. Now she fights to kill sin. And the greatest joy is serving her husband as she's discipling her children. Right. While worldly mothers stress shopping for the new style, she's pouring into younger women Titus 2 style.
Okay.
Teaching others how to rightly see brothers and be mothers and most of all better Jesus lovers. That's a permanent shot. And by the grace of the Lord, yo, she's working it out. You running hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus to everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You running hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus to everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You running hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus to everything.
Was a song called Work It Out, and that was Shining Against You, that one. Here's another one by Shining, and this one is called False Teacher here on Truth Be Told.
1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah.
False Teacher.
Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa, the saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again.
Yeah.
And I ain't really trying to start beef, but some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth. And cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cause. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message. Forever I'll yell. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joel Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Preston Dollar is a
false teacher.
Well, to well.
Benny Hinn is a
false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a
false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a
false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is a
false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is
also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3.
But there's only one holiday that makes me feel that way, yeah.
punishment for me. He did it for you too, so now maybe you can see why it's called Christmas. What more can I say? It's about the birth of Christ, and you can't take that away. You can call it something else, but that's not what it'll be. It's called Christmas with a capital C.
That was Christmas with the capital C, and that was one version. There's another version that featured a comedian with the same funny stuff, but that's Go Fish singing it, and we're getting ready for Christmas coming up soon, and see, like it says, about the birth of Christ, and He came so he could die for sins of people. And if you repent and trust in him, that you'll be saved, taking the punishment that we deserve on him. So that's like the one, there's another one called It's About the Cross that I played a while ago, The Little Fish. That explains it too. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And what I'm going to play now is a song that I like by Shannon called Penelope Jet.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. About a little girl. You ready?
Yay.
Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's going to throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog, he'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
Your turn,
off
your turn.
We go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
The
dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
oh, I go with no delay, and ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king. I'm on my way, and all the old things going to pass away. Your turn.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
long ago, laid aside my crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn.
Long ago, laid aside his crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to our town. They kicked him out, didn't want him around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
Once again, that's Shylin, spelled S-H-A-I-L-I-N-N-E. Find him on lampmode.com. And that was song Penelope Judd. And what I'm going to do for you next is, this is a sermon by John MacArthur, and it's called Declaring and Defending the Deity of Christ. And that's what I'm going to play next. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
What in the world makes us so embarrassed about the gospel? For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Well, this is Christmas season, and what is obvious to everyone is that the focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what Lord Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? It's not enough to use the name. It's not enough to say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. What Christ are you talking about? The Bible even warns that at the end times, there will be many Christs, many false Christs. There are people who have a completely wrong view of Jesus. What's the right view and the necessary view? Well, we must understand he's both God and man. That's essential to have the right Christ and also to understand his death and resurrection. Stay with us as we look at that today. We come now to the Gospel of John, and just to kind of get a running start and sort of set up the importance of this study that we're about to embark upon, I remind you of something that you well know, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the theme of all Scripture, not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. We all understand that the New Testament is about Him, the four Gospels that give us the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. The first three Gospels tell the narrative of His life and death and resurrection. And then the book of Acts tells us about His ascension into glory and His sending the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. And then the epistles are written to explain the meaning of His death and resurrection. And then the culminating book, the book of Revelation, about His second coming, return in glory. So the New Testament focuses on Jesus Christ widely and deeply. But it is also the theme of the Old Testament to look at Christ. It was the Lord Himself who said in John 5 that you could search the Scriptures, for they are they which speak of Me. And He was talking about the Old Testament. He said bluntly, Scripture testifies about Me. And if you search the Scriptures, you will find Me, you will see My glory, you will discern the truth that leads to eternal life. All that recorded in John chapter 5. In John chapter 1, later in the chapter, when Philip found Nathanael, he said to Nathanael that I have met Christ. And this is how he referred to it. He said, we have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, come and see. The Lord Jesus is not only the theme of the New Testament, but He is the theme of the Old Testament. According to Revelation 19:10, Jesus is the theme of prophecy. That is, He is the theme of Old Testament prophecy and clearly the theme of New Testament preaching. That is why the Apostle Paul said, we preach Christ, Christ only, Christ alone, and Christ crucified. Every preacher and every teacher who is faithful, every church, every ministry that is faithful presents the full and accurate truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a benchmark. That is a litmus test of integrity in a preacher and in a ministry. That is the validation. I would say it this way, devotion to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is the benchmark of legitimacy in any preacher and in any ministry. If there is any diminishing of Christ or deviation from the true Christ, there is a serious violation of the purpose of God in revealing Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Any and every legitimate preacher, legitimate church, legitimate ministry must be committed to the truth about Christ, to the glory and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, being relentlessly biblical to understand the full revelation concerning Christ. The single source of the truth about Christ is the Bible. And if the theme of the Bible is Christ, and the purpose of revealing Christ is so that we may see the fullness of His glory, then legitimacy is tied inextricably to a consuming preoccupation with knowing all that has been revealed about Christ, to understand His full glory with a view to worshiping Him, honoring Him, and loving Him. In fact, you can tie the two together. The degree of emphasis on the Bible in any preacher's ministry, in any church, in any organization, the degree of emphasis on the Bible is equal to the commitment to the glory of the Son of God. If there is a diminished interest in the Bible, there is a diminished interest in the one the Bible reveals. If there is, on the other hand, an elevated preoccupation with the Bible, there will be an elevated preoccupation with Christ, who is the theme. Those two are in direct proportion to one another. A preacher's love for Christ
will show up in his commitment to the Word of God, which reveals Christ. A church's love for Christ will show up in their devotion to the revelation concerning Christ. They are, again, I say, in direct proportion. Where there is a consuming love for Christ, there will be a concurrent consuming love for Scripture. Those who believe what Colossians 3:11 says, that Christ is all, Christ is everything, will also be those who, with David, will say, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my delight." You might say, well, what about all the practical things in the Bible? What about all the things that aren't necessarily focused on Christ? What about all of the principles and behaviors and attitudes that are declared in Scripture? What about all of that? What about the practical side of living your life and having the right kind of thoughts and the right kind of attitudes and the right kind of behaviors and the right kind of ministries? What about all those things? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. What about all those things? They all fall into order when the word concerning Christ dwells in you richly. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then out of that come all the behaviors, all the relationships, all the right responses, all the aspects of sanctification are driven by the word concerning Christ dwelling in you in its fullness and its richness. So as you take in the revealed truth concerning Christ, that becomes the dominating, driving motivation for all the behaviors. Jesus put it this way. Several statements that he made are recorded in John 14 in the upper room as he was talking to his disciples. And he said things like this: If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pretty basic. He said this: he who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. He then said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. Three times he says the same thing in a little bit different way. Obedience, keeping his commandments, is connected to loving. Behavior is connected to motivation. And motivation is loving Christ. And loving Christ is proportionate to what you know about him. The more of his glory that you see, the more you know, the more there is to love. The more you love, the more obedient you become. Now, as I often do, I want to sort of press this positive point that John is going to make about the deity of Christ all through his book against the background of a negative perspective. I want to warn you a little bit that as rich and unmistakably clear as the Gospel of John is and the rest of the Bible on who Christ is, there has always been a lot of confusion about Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the strategy of Satan to be anti-Christ, right? To be anti-Christ. John says there are many antichrists in the world. Many antichrists, says in his epistle. There always have been, there always will be, because that's a ploy of Satan to assault Christ, to go against Christ. In fact, the closer we get to the end of the age, the more the pseudo-Christs, the false Christs will appear, according to our Lord's discourse. In every age, there are extensive and effective lies about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to declare what John declared and what the true church has declared through all its history, the true Christ, as revealed in Scripture. And there is no clearer or more comprehensive or profound revelation of the nature of the true Christ than the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of his life. John focuses on his nature, who he is. If you're believing in a false Jesus, you're damned. You preach any other Christ than the true Christ, you're damned. That's Galatians 1. If you fail to love the true Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 16, you're cursed. We have to be loving and believing in the true Christ, not a false Christ, not a Christ of our own imagination, not some sentimental Jesus, not the Jesus of liberalism, not the Jesus of liberation theology, not the Jesus of Mormonism, not the Jesus of Islam, not the Jesus of private invention. Now, all false religions, listen, all false religions reject the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. They all do. That's what constitutes them as false religions, to start with. From Islam to Mormonism, if you want to go from something that is non-Christian to something that calls itself Christian, they all reject the true Christ. But they all honor a false Christ. Let me show you, by contrast, what I mean. The Jesus of Mormonism is a created being who's the spirit brother of Adam and Lucifer, created by a God who was created by another God. And we say the Jesus of Mormonism is not the true Jesus, a false Jesus, while Mormons affirm that they believe in the Jesus that we believe in. It has always been Satan's antichrist strategy to affirm the wrong Christ, the wrong Jesus, and thus to subtly deceive people. Redefining Jesus. It's been very effective. It is the spirit of Antichrist, then, to give honor to a false Jesus. And that is deadly. It has found its way, amazingly, into evangelicalism. You know, I'm always shocked by what people believe who call themselves Christians. But I continue to realize that they are under the sway of the great deceiver, Satan himself, and the spirit of Antichrist that he projects into the world when they are satisfied to believe in a false Jesus. Turn to 2 John. That's that epistle that focuses on this danger of having a false Jesus. Verses 7 to 11, 2 John. Let me read in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Not a few, many. They are deceivers who have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They don't acknowledge the truth concerning Jesus Christ. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. It's not that they attack Christ. It's not that they deny Christ. They create a false Christ. So watch yourselves. Watch yourself. Your reward, your eternal reward is at stake, verse 8. Then verse 9, anyone who goes too far doesn't abide in the true teaching concerning Christ, doesn't have God. If your Christology is aberrant, you're not a messenger from God. You don't have God. You're not a believer. You're not saved. Verse 9, the one who abides in his teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. When somebody has an accurate Christology, they have both the Father and the Son. When somebody has an aberrant Christology, they have neither the Father nor the Son. If somebody comes to you, verse 10, and doesn't bring the true teaching concerning Christ, don't let him into your house. Don't give him a greeting, or you'll be a participant in his evil deeds. Stop him cold in his tracks. Don't expose yourself to a deceptive, lying Christology. We must get it right about Christ. Salvation comes by believing in Christ. That's John's whole point in this gospel, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing have life in his name. The spirit of Antichrist gives honor to a false Jesus, which is an attack on his nature. When Jesus said in Matthew 16:13, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He asked the foundational question. Who is Jesus Christ? That's the question. Every early heresy that faced the church in its formative centuries, in the first four centuries of the church, every early heresy was an attack on the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those heresies led to councils that established in those four centuries the true New Testament and the accurate view of Christ. Four centuries the church fought against heresies against Christ because the enemy knew that's where the most devastating blows can be struck. If you've got the wrong Jesus, then everything from there is useless. I'm doing some research on the views that the charismatic leaders, we're talking about leaders, published leaders, television personalities, radio preachers, people who fill up stadiums all over the globe, and all the folks who follow them. Some of their views are bizarre about Jesus. Some of them are just childish and frivolous. One very prominent pastor with a massive church says Jesus appears to him dressed as a fireman. Another well-known leader said, "Jesus lies with me in the grass and the Father comes and lies down beside us." Another one said, "Jesus makes appearances as a man in my bathroom." Another said that Jesus appeared to him dancing on a garbage dump. Another said Jesus frequently appears to him sitting in a wheelchair in a convalescent home with a blanket on his lap. Another said Jesus comes and takes long walks with him on the beach. That is just ridiculous, obviously. John actually saw Jesus and he fell like a dead man. So did Isaiah and so did Ezekiel. I don't think you're going to lie on the grass with the Father on one side and the Son on the other side. But that kind of stupidity and nonsense is self-evidently foolish. Beyond that, which is its own kind of blasphemy, is the more outrageous, blasphemous heresy of charismatic leaders, gross distortions of the person of Jesus Christ, and they purvey these things daily on the television, Christian radio, and through their publications, through their ministries, their conferences, their meetings all over the planet. And one of the most popular views, the modern charismatic movement, and I need to put this in context, is that Jesus isn't who the Bible says he is. Let me give it to you in just an overview. 90% of the charismatic Pentecostal people in the world, 90% of them are part of the Word Faith movement. That's not my statistics, that's their own. 90% of them are part of the Word Faith movement. That's the health, wealth, prosperity, Word Faith, name it and claim it movement. And this is what their leaders say, and I just picked out some of the leaders of this movement who have the largest influence. One is a man named Creflo Dollar, a flashy prosperity preacher down in Georgia who last summer was arrested for punching and choking his 15-year-old daughter. He says this, quote, "If Jesus came as God, then why did God have to anoint him? Jesus came as man. That's why it's legal to anoint him. God doesn't need anointing. He is anointing. Jesus came as man, and at age 30, God gave us an example of what a man with the anointing could do. So he's a man until he's 30, and because he's a good man, he's made a god." Kenneth Copeland, also ubiquitous in the Christian media, says this, and I quote, "Why didn't Jesus openly proclaim himself as God during his 33 years on earth? For one single reason. He hadn't come to earth as God. He'd come as a man." How about Benny Hinn, who is inescapable in the media? He said this, "Jesus, who is righteous by choice," what a ridiculous statement, "rather than by nature. Jesus, who is righteous by choice, said, 'The only way I can stop sin is by becoming it. I can't just stop it by letting it touch me. I and it must become one. Hear this, he who is the nature of God became the nature of Satan and became sin.'" Kenneth Copeland again exhibits the blasphemous and dangerous way in which the Lord Jesus is treated in Word of Faith circles by suggesting that he went to hell when he died spiritually, quoting Copeland, how did Jesus then on the cross say, "My God"? Because God was not his Father anymore. He took upon himself the nature of Satan. And I'm telling you, Jesus is in the middle of that pit, meaning hell. He's suffering all that there is to suffer. His emaciated little wormy spirit is down in the bottom of that thing, and the devil thinks he's got him destroyed. Referring to the nature of Christ as that emaciated little wormy spirit down in the bottom of the pit. Creflo Dollar, in Gross Irreverence, questions the deity of our Lord. Quote, Jesus didn't show up perfect. He grew into his perfection. You know, Jesus, in one scripture in the Bible, he went on a journey and he was tired. You better hope God don't get tired. But Jesus did. If he came as God and he got tired, he says he sat down by the well because he was tired. Boy, we're in trouble. And somebody said, well, Jesus came as God. Well, how many of you know the Bible? It says God never sleeps or slumbers. And yet in the book of Mark, we see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat, end quote. So the fact that he was tired and went to sleep meant he wasn't God. Really shocking, shocking. And you'll find the books of these people alongside the books of people who tell the truth about Jesus Christ on the same shelf in the same store. You'll find them on the next half-hour radio broadcast next to somebody exalting Christ. You'll find them on the next program on television with the people who truly honor Christ. And the people who run all of that can't tell the difference. Remember, the charismatic movement works well with aberrant views of Christ. 90% of people in the world in the charismatic movement are in this word of faith movement and influenced by these people who are the architects of that movement. Then there's the oneness Pentecostal movement. The estimate is that there are 24 million or 25 million of them deny the Trinity. That's what oneness Pentecostalism is. It's a denial of the Trinity. The most well-known one would be T.D. Jakes. He is oneness Pentecostal Jesus only. Denies the existence of the Trinity. They espouse an old heresy called modalism. Modalism says that God is not three persons, not three co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal persons, but God is only one person who sometimes acts like the Father, sometimes acts like the Son, sometimes acts like the Spirit, which then destroys the nature of the Father, the nature of the Son, and the nature of the Spirit, and you have an utterly heretical view of everyone in the Trinity. And by the way, this is very comfortable within the charismatic movement. You even had an event in America with quote-unquote evangelical leaders. A panel were collected together and T.D. Jakes was made a part of it, though he is a heretic of heretics. The leading pastor in America and dominating people's lives and doing so through lots of means and media means, Joel Osteen, was asked if he thought that people who refuse to believe in Jesus are wrong. He said this, well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, but I think that only God will judge a person's heart. Just subjectivity. I spent a lot of time in India. I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God, and I don't know. I've seen their sincerity, so I don't know. You know, this is not people with heresy at low levels of influence. This is people with heresy at the epic levels of influence. Let me close by having you go to 1 John 4. This is where John is, and John is so committed to believing the right thing. In the Gospel of John, you're going to find out. John's all about believing. 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 He's got two favorite words. Believe and love. Believe and love. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, love the Lord Jesus Christ. So here he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits. The spirit would essentially be the speaker, the source, to see whether they're from God. Because so many false prophets have gone out into the world. So how do you know? By this you know. The Spirit of God is in the teacher and the preacher. How do you know? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. When you hear a true Christology, you have a messenger from God. And every spirit, verse 3, that does not confess Jesus is not from God. That is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. That's the test. Christology is the test. What do they say about Christ? And then verse 6, we are from God, John says. And he who knows God listens to us. Boy, that is a profoundly foundational statement. The people who truly know God listen to the people who speak the truth. On the other hand, the people who don't know God, who are not from God, don't listen to us. I get that. I am continually vilified and condemned and criticized by the people that I'm talking to you about. They don't listen to the true teachers because they're not from God. We're from God. We who know God, we listen to the true teachers. Those who are not from God don't listen to us. This is how you know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The unconverted listening to false teachers. The true church listening to the true teachers. I know many of you are interested in getting a hold of MacArthur Study Bible or one of our other Bibles. Let me add a little incentive for you, special Christmas gift. For everyone who orders a Bible, I want to send you, free of charge, a book called Daily Readings in the Life of Christ. This is a significant book. In fact, it's a devotional for every day of the year, 365 separate devotionals. And here's the key. Each one of them focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to walk with Him for a year. And this is our gift to you. Anyone who orders a Bible will get one of these free. Do that today.
Was John MacArthur, and that one was called Declaring and Defending the Deity of Christ. And you could see that also on YouTube, and a little bit we have a special surprise for you. My co-host that I haven't had on for a long time named Guy Reynolds, he'll be on a little bit, but for now, I'm going to play a song. This one is from Go Fish, and it's called Saved, here on Truth Be Told.
I have a Bible that I read. I know the truth, and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a joy.
Saved by grace through faith,
yeah.
got the J to the O to the Y.
Excited about it because God is using a young man in the kingdom. We want to welcome from Valley Church Jesus Disciple. He's going to rap for us right now. Thanks, Derek, for being here, brother.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. This might be a little different from what you're used to hearing on a Sunday morning, but I'm doing this to proclaim the gospel, so here we go.
Hope you enjoy your stay. This is a place where sin reigns over the choices made, and everyone lives life with a pointless aim, trying to quiet their souls, but the noise remains. Everywhere you look, you see sin and depravity. It's amazing to me, the most don't realize what's happening. And when I bring it up, people seem to get mad at me. They cover up their ears to keep the world from shattering. It's a tragedy, humanity is dead in sin. And it's sad to see the casualties of wretched men who never realize the fact that there's more to life than getting a job, a wife, and a Porsche to drive. If you're alive, your job, glorify God. The more that you rob His glory, then the more it'll cost. You're gonna pay, even though you thought you'd never be caught. When the day of judgment comes and you stand before God, all humanity's enslaved to sin, but Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in Him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. People go through life oblivious too,
The fact that they're living in the prison they choose. They're trapped within the sin that they do. And they're slaves to their master, the one that they're obedient to. He's leading them to a place where God's wrath is poured out. That's one of the reasons half my listeners are bored now. Because I've chosen to speak truth in my song and reveal what's going on to the foolish and lost. It's not arrogant to claim that you found the truth. In fact, the opposite for me, I was found by truth. And now that I can see, I will shine this light through the darkness to the world until the blind have sight. I'm not content with the state of our nation or the rest of the world with the faith that they're faced with. If we don't preach, how can anyone know? It's necessary and it's actually a sin if we don't. All humanity's enslaved to sin. Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. All humanity's enslaved to sin, but Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. Flee from the wrath to come, run to Christ. There's only salvation in Christ, in Christ alone.
Yes, and Truth Be Told Radio, and like that one that was called Enslaved, and by Jared Duba. He's also known as the Praying Wretch, like I said at the end, on YouTube. So I was trying to see if Guy Reynolds was going to be on. I don't know what happened. Maybe his internet messed up or something. But we'll see if he gets back on. But if not, I'll just play more music. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm going to play the song called Faithful God here on Truth Be Told Radio.
thanks for your grace and your favor. Your faithfulness we tasted and savored. Your love and care for us is most clear to us when we're beholding the face of the Savior. The human race as a whole was infected, but for those you have chosen, elected. You made a promise and it was accomplished when the chief cornerstone was rejected. We see him dying on the cross for our evil, when he appeared to be soft and feeble. In actuality, he holds the galaxies in his hands, he's exalted and regal. When we believe, you are faithful to save us, and that means you'll be faithful to change us. And the Spirit of Jesus will keep us till you make us holy and blameless. From the things you say, you don't budge. You're faithful to save and you're faithful to judge. The God who was just became one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself.
Our next selection finds us moving through the corridors of a local hospital. As we enter into room 168, we encounter Mr. Smith, who is moments away from death. Let's listen in on his inner monologue.
Yeah. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me. Who knew that I'd be shook up as I look up to the heavens and see it's near with IVs hooked up like secrets? It was nice to be kept by Christ. Now every night's a deep sweat from a life of regrets that feel it's gone. Was faith real? Not fake like silicone. Fretting like it's okay like Little John was spilling songs. My will was drawn to this common facade. Lord, now I repent for each debt in your armor of God. Knowing this is your name that we defraud, without holiness no one shall see the Lord. My heart I can't mask from you, don't wanna be a part of your massacre. Please don't stop my cardiovascular. I hope I rep C-H-R-I-S-T. It's four of them so good I could win an SP like Wayne Gretzky. Lord, put my heart at ease, please, before I decrease my BP. And they saying clear, I need CC. I think I'm losing them because I'm bruised from sin within. And don't think I'll see your new Jerusalem. You're just, Lord, I need to be assured. I'm unsure and insecure that within the bounds your grace is much more. I need to get confidence, believe in your promises of Jesus' accomplishments, not help from the drugstore. Cause mostly my reputation was counterworld as defecation, yet I proceed with trepidation. Sin was strong and my deadliest foe. Steady wrong, am I ready to go? I pray to God cause it's hard to accept. My heart's heavy, you know. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go. Although you had promised I would live again, for believing in Jesus I'm forgiven. Yet I'm shivering from hidden sin, cause in the back of my mind I knew I struggled as my pastime. Now I'm scared to flatline.
Next, we move down the hall to the cancer wing, room 197, the room of Mr. Jones. His situation is very similar to Mr. Smith's. Let's listen in.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me. Life was
quick, but these last breaths seem the longest. I'm on the brink of entering everything that you promised. My heart skips thinking of what I'll be in the moment. This joy is undeniably precious fruit of atonement. I cry tears of happiness, cause looking back to see the track that you sovereignly mapped for me, I see immaculate. The cross of Christ is awesome price, and your grace that carried me. I persevered in shadows of brothers who walked the path for me. In just a few breaths, I walk into a marriage feast and taste of your goodness without getting a cavity. Your majesty will light up the city that we'll inhabit, and the land will be the lamp in the middle. There'll be no PM. I tremble at the fact that I'll be captured by the blazing glory of the one that I've been waiting to see. And I'll see him. Yeah. To see his face and worship perpetually won't be boring, cause his flesh won't be a hitch anymore. I'll be restored to the morning after morning. And cause you bled death, I'll leave here on his hospital bed and step into the presence of the bridegroom in heaven. No more valleys to try to trek through. 11 to fight against, all things will be made new. No struggling to pray, we'll sing of your glory with angels. I'm eager to go, I know I'm a part of your kingdom. Upon Christ's deeds, I'll see bliss when the beat comes. My life was long and I'm ready to go. I stood strong and I'm ready to go. Can't wait to sing along with this song up in heaven, you know. It's where I belong, I'm ready to go. My feet are worn down hard from running this marathon in the trenches. Was far from pretending, press on with repentance. So now it's time for me to pass the baton, and at long last I'll pass on into heaven.
Finally, as we leave Mr. Jones's room, we travel upstairs to room 235, where we encounter Mr. Michaels, also moments away from death. Let's hear what's going on in his mind.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me. Yo, in a hospital bed, blood clots in my head, body chock full of meds, and I got to be fed through a tube. I'm comatose, wet food, aromas gross, pursue lewd moods as a refuge. Overdose, frantic seizure, life empty, scary, demanded leisure. Anesthesia, temporary amnesia, I'm found in this predicament, surrounded by significant others. My mother is prouder and I'm listening. I hear a person's voice that I don't recognize, praying for me. It must be a reverend in his lies, nurse checking in my eyes, ain't getting no replies. If she knew I heard everything, I bet you'd be surprised. My family's upsetting me with cries. What they crying for? If I could speak, I'd ask the reverend what he lying for. He said something about believing in the Lord. That's ridiculous. We all know that Jesus was a fraud. Atheism is logical. Blind faith is comical. Seven-day creation and Satan are mythological. The Bible's full of statements made by men who were shaken, too scared to face the end. The reverend said, don't be hostile to the gospel. Choose it. The only gospel I like is gospel music. He said if I understood him, take my finger and wiggle one. But if I could have, I would have gave him the middle one. Because he's wrong and I'm ready to go. Son, I'm strong, yo, I'm ready to go. If it's on, then it's on, bring it on. I'm ready to go, let's get it on. Son, I'm ready to go. I'm anticipating, hitting the essence. I'll crash through the gate in minutes or seconds. His antics are fake, so I'm dissing the reverend. My last action shaking, my fist at the heavens. Shaking my fist at the heavens, my lifetime pastime, but now no more natural light shines, flatline. Just as I was dissing his name, I'm hit with the flame as my soul left my physical frame. Frightened, my senses heightened, defenseless against this relentless lightning. A stampede of thunderclaps, I can't breathe, it's like I'm running laps with my lung collapse. I can't leave, I'm fucking trapped. Meanwhile, I am no longer seen now. The life I lived in the body, that feels like the dream now. And I've awakened to a real life nightmare. It's quite clear, no use putting up a fight here. My destiny is sealed. A true catastrophe with future agonies that have yet to be revealed. And that thought alone is such a blow to me, it's terrible. Cause what I'm feeling right now is totally unbearable. I'm disembodied, met my worst fear, mentally. Every second like a year, every year a century. No one that I can call, I'm crushed under a wall of holy fury. Amazed by the justice of it all, getting what I deserve. In fact, my soul is burning black. I cross over the threshold, never to be saved. Eternal is the furnace and it ain't no turning back. Oh God, just let me send my fam a letter from the grave.
My grave is a
having lunged fist first into a fixed state of horror and agony, Mr. Michaels attempts to gather his bearings. As he scrambles to find a way to warn his family, little does he know that, as sincere as he may be, the following efforts are sadly in vain.
Oh God. Oh God. I'm in agony right now. I'm in agony in this fire. Please. Can I just warn my family, please? Can I just warn my family? Just let me go back. Oh, if I can't go back, just let me write them a letter. Let me dictate it.
My parents, my sisters, my cousins, my nieces, friends, co-workers, everybody needs to read this. You probably thinking I'm in heaven smiling down upon you, but it's not true. I'm writing this now to warn you. I'm serious, wish I could put a gun to your face. Whatever it takes to make you listen, don't come to this place. I made tons of mistakes when I was there with y'all, certainly. The worst by far was not preparing for eternity. It's crazy. I don't even know how to tell y'all, but I'm in hell, y'all. And I know it's upsetting to hear, it's upsetting to be here, but I write so you get it and see clear. I don't have all the answers, I broke for more, but there are a couple of things that I know for sure. Reincarnation is a lie, there's no such thing as Satan lie. Getting to heaven through meditation, that's a lie. Yo, it's vital we build, homicidal I feel, your pride will be killed. The God of the Bible is real, y'all know. I ain't read the Bible a day in my life, but he's the one who's inflicting all my pain and my strife. So get a Bible and read it, whatever you read, believe it. After believe in, eat it, sleep it, and breathe it. There's much more to this man Jesus. Observe the story, and I can tell you that there's no such thing as purgatory. What I wouldn't give to have your opportunity. I see my pride is ruining me. Ignoring God is lunacy. There's no comfort, all shame, no peace. There's no slumber, all pain, it don't cease. So don't be lax when attack with distractions. The fashions and attractions had me relaxing. Now I'm awake for the first time ever. But from the goodness of God's works, I'm severed. Regretting all the tracks that I threw in the trash, regretting moving fast in pursuit of the cash, regretting spending all my life trusting myself, regretting not reading the Bible up on my shelf, regretting all the stuff in life that had me caught up, regretting switching the subject when Christ was brought up, regretting not going to church when my friends invited me.
That was As the Hour Draws Near, and that was Silencing It. And what we're going to do now is play one from Timothy Brindle, and this one is called The All-Sufficiency of Christ, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
This is the all-sufficiency of Christ in the gospel of grace, to restore ruined sinners to himself for their joy in his glory. Check it out now. I'm asked by my peers, hey, where have you been the last 5 years? I stay buried in sin. I thought I was righteous, but that's a mirage. So God snatched off my mask and facade, exposing the true me. When you, the Holy One, showed me what you see, I was loathing this lewd scene, but it was only so you could show me your beauty. The beauty of your deep compassion for needy cats who are steeped in mad sin. But because of Jesus bleeding, gasping, now before God my sin's completely absent. Cause on the cross it was like my hell. So now my righteousness is Christ himself. Because of the blood spill, your mountain of grace done smothered my dunghill.
So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Standing in the Son of God and the CFO. Most filling sin and the gospel of grace. So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Shining in the Son of God and the CFO. Most filling sin and the gospel of grace.
So you convinced that you're ruined, and the proof is the bad fruit of the sin that you're proving. Sick of the emptiness you're pursuing. So what can fix the brokenness of a human? Our help is not in 12 steps, or in books on the shelf that sells best. Like health and wealth mess that compels self-flesh. Cause with self-help, guess what? You're helpless. Cause in self is indwelt death. So it's not an attempt to keep self well kept. Only Jesus Christ himself can save us from ourselves in hell's depths.
So what's the remedy for your sinning? Is it in performance-driven moralism?
No,
it's only falling on the Lord who's risen, whose infinite grace is of course sufficient to be reborn, forgiven, and adorned with wisdom, and freed from your morbid porno prison, and equipped for his mission. Only beholding his glory can transform a Christian.
So what did God your spirit start me? Why it was the truth of him glory? Most clearly seen in the gospel of grace. So what did God your spirit star me? Why it was the truth of him glory, shining in the Son of God and the fear. Most clearly seen in the gospel of grace.
So name your need, he knows your strength is weak. The unchanging grace of the Savior's deep. In Christ Jesus every saint's complete. So come by faith to our faithful priest.
What is faith?
It's just an empty hand that receives the grace of the precious Lamb, namely God the Son, crushed as your payment. His perfect life is our justification. So the gospel's not just for unbelievers. Every day we should trust and run to Jesus. Confess and plead, we're wretched seed, but his once for all death perfected me. So when you come to the Son, behold this, the riches of God in abundant fullness. When you come to his blood, your soul gets peace with God, abundant love and wholeness. I'm now making the argument, the most foregone sinner who's dark and grim can be restored by Christ who pardoned him. Cause Christ's abounding grace is larger than your heart of sin that's hard within, or all who his irresistible grace is targeting. Cause the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation from start to end.
Listen! So what did God your spirit start me? Why it was the truth of him glory, shining in the Son of God and the fear. Most clearly seen in the gospel of grace. So what did God your spirit start me? Why it was the truth of him glory, shining in the Son of God and the fear. Most clearly seen in the gospel of grace. Follow me now, listen me now, follow me now, see. As sufficiency of the Almighty. That's right.
Lambo, you know who it is. Jesus, the Messiah. He's on his mission, y'all, and it don't stop.
When does human life begin? This is Ken Ham, a publisher of the award-winning family magazine, Answers. Earlier this year was the 40th anniversary of the pro-abortion Supreme Court decision called Roe v. Wade. Now, a journalist who's pro-abortion wrote that she believes life does start at conception, but she added that the unborn baby is, quote, a life worth sacrificing, end quote. The question of when life begins has divided America. Abortion advocates often try to redefine life to justify the murder of unborn babies. You know, the journalist's statements are the most honest ones yet. She admits that life begins at conception, but she's still willing to support abortion. This week, I'll be discussing the abortion debate.
Want to know the Bible's answer to abortion? Visit our apologetics website, answersingenesis.org. You'll learn about the value of life at answersingenesis.org.
Who is more human? This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on why we can trust the Bible. You know, we rarely stop to think about life. We're born, we grow up, and our lives end in death. But where does life actually start? You see, if life is such a clear process, then we should be able to move backward from death to find the beginning. And yet many people disagree. Some think life starts at a certain time in the womb. Many people believe that an unborn baby isn't a human at all. Atheist Richard Dawkins once said an unborn baby is less precious than a pig. But we have to separate facts from opinions. Can we say, for example, that an adult is more human than a child? Of course not. God's word's clear. Everyone, even unborn babies, are fully human.
What does it mean to be made in the image of God? You'll find out when you visit our Bible-upholding website, answersingenesis.org. Get equipped at answersingenesis.org.
Life's starting point. Can science help? This is Ken Ham, a missionary to our evolutionized church and culture. The development of a human being in the womb is a process and a wondrous one. There are many milestones throughout the baby's development and birth, and this continuous process is set in motion at conception. So when does a baby become human? You know, even though there are arbitrary names for these milestones, when do we become totally human? Does a baby become more human when it learns to walk and talk? Of course not. You know, scientists for decades have studied the marvelous process of a baby's development in the womb. Yet many scientists still try to assign random stages where an unborn baby becomes human. But scripture has the answer. We're human right at the moment of conception.
Want to know what the Bible says about life? And want an update on the Noah's Ark we're building? Go to our website, answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.
The world's definitions of life. This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on science and the Bible. You know, the question of when life begins baffles secular scientists. And because they don't have the Bible as their foundation, well, they come up with numerous wrong ideas. For example, a common view today says that life begins at implantation in the womb. This occurs around 6 days after conception. Another view claims that life doesn't begin until almost 14 days after conception. This may be shocking, but some secularists believe life begins around 26 weeks in the womb, or even at the moment the umbilical cord is cut. Clearly, secular scientists cannot give us the answer to when life begins. So where can we turn? To God's Word, of course. Join me tomorrow to find out.
How does the Creator of the universe define life? You'll discover the truth when you visit our Bible-upholding website, answersingenesis.org. Go to answersingenesis.org.
What does the Bible say about life? This is Ken Ham, often a guest on radio and TV on The Bible's Authority. Secular scientists can't give us the answer to when life begins. Instead, we've got to turn to a source that can, God's Word. In Scripture, we find a clear definition of life. Psalm 139 tells us that God formed our inward parts and knit us together in our mother's wombs. The psalmist declares that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Also, God told the prophet Jeremiah that he knew Jeremiah before he formed Jeremiah in the womb. And what's incredible about these and other scriptures is the worth that God gives each individual, even before conception. You see, the Bible declares that all of us, even unborn babies, are made in the image of God and are fully human right from conception.
What does it mean to be made in God's image? You'll find out when you visit our Bible-upholding website, answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.
Thank you.
Eyes on a Sparrow, sung by Guitar Boy 70, that's 70 as 70, on YouTube, Guitar, G-U-I-T-A, Boy, B-O-Y, 70 as 70. And thanks for listening to me, Melissa Kent, Children on Trippy Toll Radio. We're going to be playing some of the word from the word, and probably after that, end the show soon. We went on overtime. I was hoping to be able to talk to Guy Reynolds, but what happened is when I go over the time, it doesn't allow anybody to call in. So hopefully next week we'll do that. And thanks for listening. Should we talk radio? Okay, hold on. I'm trying to find the files word from a word. Let's see. Okay. Well, I want to remind you also you could find us on truthbetoldradio.com and also on Facebook and Twitter and also on Google Plus. So check us out there to see truthbetoldradio.com and that tells our information. Has links to find those. Okay, here we go. This is, let's see. Maybe I spelled it wrong. Let's check. Okay, I'm looking for word. These are little bits of apologetics in about 2 minutes, and they're by Bill Hayden. That's Hayden spelled H-A-Y-D-E-N. And let's see. Oh, no, I was trying to play in order, but I can't find the one I want to play. So here, I'll play this one.
Everything is ready. When do we begin? Well, you have to wait 8 days, God said. Then you can begin. So when 8 days were accomplished, they began. Accomplished, that's our word for today. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Have you ever had to wait for something so the timing could be right? You know, as a kid, you wanted to open some of your Christmas presents early, but your parents insisted that you had to wait. It wasn't right to do it early. Well, when Jesus was born, he began his existence as a Jewish boy in Joseph and Mary's home, but actually he was not recognized as a son of Israel until 8 days later. He had to wait for over a week to be officially recognized. In Luke 2:21, Luke says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." The practice of circumcision was given by God to Israel as a sign of his covenant relationship with the nation. In Leviticus 12:3 it says, "In the law, with regard to the birth of a son, and in the eighth day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." So when 8 days were accomplished, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to have him circumcised. The word accomplished is a word that means fulfilled. All that needs to be done has been accomplished. The time for waiting has been fulfilled. This was the time when Jesus would be fully recognized as a son of Israel, when Jesus would bear in his body the sign of God's covenant with Abraham. So, in fulfillment of the law of God, when 8 days were accomplished, Jesus was circumcised and named. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, God wants things to be right, and sometimes that means you have to wait.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
I was out of college for 3 years before I knew what I was going to do with my life. Before that time, I had no idea that I would eventually become a pastor. Before, that's our word for today. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. I was 25 years old when I felt the call of God upon my life to become a minister of the gospel. Previous to that, I thought I might become a doctor. But at 25 years of age, I decided that God wanted me to study for the ministry. Well, that's not how it happened with Jesus. He didn't all of a sudden decide to become a prophet at 30 years of age. In Luke 2:21, Luke tells us when it was known what Christ would do. He says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now, what Luke is saying is that when the child was given the name Jesus, which means the one who saves, it had already been determined that this would be his name before he was even conceived in Mary's womb. The word before is the Greek preposition pra, which has the idea of being in front of or prior to something else. Our English word prognosis means to know before. Prophecy means to tell before. Well, here in Luke's account, we learn that the virgin-born son of Mary was given the name Jesus before he was ever conceived. You see, the Son of God came into our world as Jesus for the express purpose of being our Savior. It wasn't an afterthought or a later career choice. He was called Jesus before he was conceived. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, dying for our sins was no afterthought with Jesus. It was his intention all along.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word, including articles, books, and full-length podcasts by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
The number 8 is a significant number in the Bible, and that's our word for today, 8. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. When a baby boy is born into a Jewish home, they have to wait 8 days before they can circumcise him. That is the stipulation of the law in Leviticus 12:3. Well, in the birth account of Jesus, Joseph and Mary took him to the temple to be circumcised on the 8th day. In Luke 2:21 it says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now the question is asked, why 8 days? Why not 5 days or 2 weeks? What's so important about 8 days? The word eight is the Greek word octo, which is why we call an eight-sided geometric figure like a stop sign an octagon. In music, 8 notes on a scale is called an octave, which is the complete cycle of notes before a new cycle begins. So as you can see, 8 is a significant number. Well, what's the significance of waiting 8 days before circumcising a male child? J. Vernon McGee says that it has to do with the creation cycle. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the 7th day, which denotes the perfection and completion of the first creation. The 8th day begins another week, and in the spiritual sense, a new creation. Jesus was raised from the dead on the 8th day, or the 1st day of a new week, in order to give us new life. Well, circumcision was the sign of God's covenant of new life with his people. That's why they had to wait 8 days for circumcision. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our salvation is the beginning of a whole new life.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this 2-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden. That's awordfromtheword.org.
The name Jesus is dear to every Christian's heart, yet not all Christians understand why he was called Jesus. That's our word for today, Jesus. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Did you know that Jesus was not officially called Jesus until 8 days after he was born? In Luke 2:21, Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary followed the prescribed laws of Israel with regard to the birth of a baby boy. He says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." The circumcision of a Jewish boy happened 8 days after he was born. In Leviticus 12:3, the Mosaic law is clear, "And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." Now, at the time of the circumcision, a child would be officially named. Luke said his name was called Jesus when he was brought to the temple to be circumcised. The name Jesus is the Greek name Jesus, which is taken from the Greek word sozo, meaning to save. So the name Jesus literally means the one who will save. In Matthew 1:21, the angel Gabriel said to Joseph, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." In other words, the virgin-born son of Mary was named Jesus because he was destined to be the Savior. Eventually, he would die on the cross for the sins of the world, and by that means provide salvation for all who would put their faith in him. So 8 days after he was born, at his circumcision, he was named Jesus. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, Jesus is the one who can save you. That's why he's called Jesus.
A Word from the Word is produced in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free ministry resources to help you understand God's Word, including full-length messages by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.